The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are we talking about here? Orgy? Is it a human sacrifice of some kind?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
Fascinating. I can't wait to read it.
It's $14.99 on my website.
Okay.
Plus shipping and handling.
Even if I buy it here?
It ships from somewhere else, didn't it? And I've been handling it.
Paul Perillo.
Very attractive man. Can fit a whole octopus in his mouth. Sort of an animal magnetism about him.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have any idea what it's like, Tim, to be up to your elbow in a zebra's vagina?
Andy Hart.
What does it make you think of?
I guess it kind of makes me, think of your penis.
Then you get it.
Eric Scalavino.
You know, that is so like you. You call a guy a douche and you get your first museum show out of it.
For now, anyway.
It smells like cabbage on this floor.
That's the smell of dead dreams.
I go to the clubs at night and people are like, hey, who's wearing the coleslaw? You know how hard it is to get laid when you smell like coleslaw?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh man, they are planning one hell of a party.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I am back. I didn't miss much last week, I hear.
No, it's a quiet week.
Yeah. Nothing like the guy who takes that kind of a week off.
Yeah.
Good timing.
Yeah, I followed it from afar. Crazy week.
We actually thought there was a chance you might stop in on Thursday. We didn't know if you were back or not. Yeah. We know you had a lot of lax work to
do. Yeah, a lot of lax.
A lot of lax. No, but...
A lot of long poles.
Yeah, one of the strangest weeks in Patriots history, and there's been some strange weeks.
Yeah
that's saying
yep.
something.
Yeah, right. So, but it's not behind us. I mean, he's no longer a Patriot, but the stories still continue to come out. Now we got the sheriff in Bristol County who decides he wants to be part of the story.
Mm.
So it's just crazy. But, you know, we're going to talk about that and Patriots going forward. I don't think it's too soon to talk about how this affects the offense.
I think we're at that time now.
I think the questions that you guys raised about the offense before this are now multiplied by 81.
I see what you did there.
Because you know this does raise a lot of issues now for this team, and if I'm Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, I'm opening up that playbook and saying, all right, who's going to do these plays? You know, how are we going to do this? Do we have to change our offense a little bit, at least until Gronkowski's 100%? And I can open that up. Maybe you think they don't have to. Maybe you do. Or at least not change the playbook, but reprioritize the plays.
I think I agree with Paul when we talked about this last week. They're still going to use tight ends in their formations, multiple tight ends. I just don't think Brady's going to throw to them as much as he
well to me that's
as he would have.
That's reprioritizing. That's my first looks are not my tight ends.
So you don't adhere to the receiver is the open man? Favorite receiver is the open man?
Well, I think that in every offense you have first looks, second looks, and, you know, in this offense, a lot of times those first looks tend to be the tight ends.
So you don't agree with that theory then?
But that theory still holds true that no matter what the looks are, if the guy's not open, you're not going to throw to him.
I'm just busting you.
I know.
Yeah, now listen, we talked about it, and there's no way that what you have left for tight ends is going to be able to catch 75 or 80 balls. Gronkowski and Hernandez, you knew, were going to catch 70, 80 passes. Gronkowski, you knew, was going to be 15-plus touchdowns. Jake Ballard, Daniel Fells, and the Who Man are not capable of 75 catches and 15 touchdowns.
No.
They'll be lucky to combine for anything close to that in terms of even catches, 15 touchdowns. I don't think you're going to see that. So, yeah, in terms of the distribution, I think it's going to have to change. Now, the question is, like, I always go with my whole theory of, well, it doesn't really matter who catches the ball, and Tom Brady's going to have sort of a finite number of completions that he's going to have every year. And I believe he'll have close to whatever he's been averaging in terms of completions this year, too. But where are they going to go?
Right.
You know, who's going to catch them?
That's the thing. You're probably right, Paul. They'll figure it out. But I defy anyone right now to be able to tell me this is how it's going to work out.
Just working through some mailbag stuff, and there's a lot of questions, not surprisingly, on that topic. And people wondering, you know, beyond Amendola, what do you have? And I'm like, well, you're kind of in your parameters of my answer here. You're limiting me by taking Amendola out of the equation,
because right.
That's the only one I feel relatively certain, if he's on the field, will catch the ball.
Yeah.
The other guys, I'm sorry, I can't give you an argument really strongly for Aaron Dobson over Michael Jenkins or Donald Jones or Kembrell Tompkins or, you know, Lavelle Hawkins. I can't give you a strong argument for any of these guys over any other. The only one that stands out to me is Amendola.
Right.
And the rest of them, to me, you can. There'll be two or three of those guys that will emerge, and they'll be the guy. But, you know, far be it for me to tell you which ones those are now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nope. This is going to be an interesting training camp. All right. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. You know, we do have to talk about the aftermath of last week's proceedings. There's a lot of stuff going out there now. The Patriots way is definitely taking a hit. You know, what the Patriots way was, whether or not, you know, what. And the only person I think I've really heard mention the Patriots way in terms, besides players, was I think Scott Pioli might have mentioned it while he was here. Besides players, I don't think coaches mention it. You know, they don't talk about the Patriots way. But I think Pioli.
I don't think coaches have mentioned
it. Yeah, but I think Pioli did mention, you know, what they look for in a football player, and he kind of defined that. And I think that has been taken as the Patriot way, and it should. That, what, you know, we're looking for smart, tough, you know, athletic football players, that, you know, football's important to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's said that. But, you know, the Patriot way itself has been defined more or less by the media, I think. They've created that Patriot way and said what it stands for. And whatever that is, it's taken a hit, you know, because of the Hernandez thing. Now, let's just say that the Patriots way does exist. Let's say...
Oh, the Patriot way is also, too, how your approach to the game, to the media, the way they approach free agency. I think there's a whole ethos of the Patriot way that goes far beyond just the type of player they're looking for.
It's the way the Patriots do things.
The way the Patriots do things overall, yeah.
So every team has their way, right?
Yeah, but I think maybe the Patriots are more established, and because they've won some Super Bowls recently, it's become more.
Well, they also have a little continuity. They've had the same coach for 13 years.
Right. So it's a little bit more established than other teams' ways of doing things.
Okay. You know, and everybody has a way, and there's no one way that's the right way. It's just, you know, the way the Patriots do things. And like you said, Eric, they definitely have a different way of handling the media.
Sure.
Or, you know, some teams follow what
they have said that in the past.
Yeah.
That, and matter of fact, Pioli, you brought up Pioli. He said it, and Belichick has said it. It's not necessarily, it's not for everybody. It's not,
right.
We're not saying that our way is the only way.
Right.
This is our way.
But
so it's not something that was just sort of thrown out of the air. It's been acknowledged.
But here's my point.
I don't think Belichick talks about it a tremendous amount. I don't think Belichick would use the term Patriots way.
Here's my point.
But what Eric is saying is they're telling you what the Patriots way is without saying, this is the definition of the Patriots way.
And the Patriots definitely have a way of doing it. And here's what I'm getting at. Yes, you know, the way, you know, people have criticized now that Patriots way. But if I'm the Patriots, I don't deter one bit from the way I've done things. I don't change what I'm doing in any way. Because of this Aaron Hernandez thing.
All right, hold on. Let's take a step back for a second. Do you believe that they have changed in any way some of the way they've done things? Because if you don't...
That's my next thing.
Because if you don't, then I would agree with you.
Yeah, I don't. I think that...
I think they have.
Okay.
I don't think there's any way, shape, or form they would have brought a guy like Albert Haynesworth to this team 5 years before they did. I don't think they ever would have done something like that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think
they there's been a change in mentality.
I think they got more and more
since they won Super Bowls
to take on risk.
Yeah.
Once they won and they were established, mm-hmm. now we can do these things because, and I said last week, there are a handful of teams that if they had drafted Aaron Hernandez and what happened to Aaron Hernandez just happened, the entire front office would have just gotten blown out. They would have just gotten fired. If the Jacksonville Jaguars drafted Aaron Hernandez in the fourth round and then had what happened, the guy who drafted him very well could be out of a job today. That wasn't going to happen to Bill Belichick. Once you win three Super Bowls in 4 years, he now does so, and he now makes moves with that security of knowing I have established myself as elite in my profession, and I can take more chances because I can get away with failures. Colossal failure, Chad Ochocinco. Colossal failure, Albert Haynesworth.
Oh.
Not colossal, but failures with the second contract of Corey Dillon and Randy Moss. Both blew up in his face.
Yeah, but
the second contract's the same thing that blew up with Aaron Hernandez.
But what you're talking about, I don't think has anything to do with the Patriots.
I think they have changed. I don't think they would have done that 5 years earlier.
But that's any coach that doesn't have the credibility. You can't take chances, or else you're going to get
fired.
But
what I'm saying is the way
anybody.
If you think there was a way earlier. Now I understand some people don't really buy it. They don't think there ever was it. They think there was like this mythical thing. I'm not here to argue the semantics of what you think in. What is acknowledged as the Patriots' way. But if you believe that there was a sort of a mantra of how they wanted to do things, I believe that they sort of veered away from that a little bit toward the second half of the decade and now into the second decade of the century. Mm. Well, I think they have sort of changed their ways a little bit.
You could certainly make the point that Albert Haynesworth football wasn't important to him.
Right. Well, that's exactly my point, Freddie. That articulates my point perfectly. That's a guy that failed in every one of their little checklists.
Mm. Right.
But I think they did it. And I think the reason why they changed was a product of having won Super Bowls. And the fact that now there's a little bit more pressure that each year Tom Brady's getting older, each year Bill Belichick might be that much closer to hanging it up completely, and you have enough talent on the team to be competitive and to be challenging for playoffs and Super Bowls every year, but you're missing maybe that one guy on defense or that one guy on offense who can make you what you should be, which is a legitimate Super Bowl threat. And I think after having won the Super Bowls, the pressure now was on to be like, all right, you've got to take advantage of this Brady Belichick window. And, you know, all right, we can roll the dice with a guy like Haynesworth. Maybe he didn't play that well for Mike Shanahan, but, you know, get him in Bill Belichick and he'll turn it around. You know, they felt like they could take chances on guys like that, and I think, like Paul said, it blew up on
them. But I think that would be the case for any established coach who had won three Super Bowls, where now you have more leeway. Now you can
sure, we've seen it in Dallas. We've seen it in, San Francisco to a point where they were winning so much that everybody who was anybody wanted to go and end their career there, and it didn't always work out.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that they've always looked to, get value. Because we make fun of them, for years. Like, they're always looking for that value guy.
Yeah.
And now, now they were able to look at value on guys who were more of a risk because they had an established locker room. They had an established winning record. The coach had credibility. They can get away with mistakes where a young coach wouldn't be able to. But if you think that that's a big change, okay. I don't think it is.
Well, I'll argue a little bit on your side too. And if I think it does sort of depend on how you look at it, you could make an argument that Bill really hasn't changed, but his leeway has changed.
I don't think there's any argument there,
because maybe you could look and say he would have been just as willing to take on a talent like Haynesworth at the beginning if he were allowed to, and maybe the winning sort of gave him permission from upstairs.
Yeah.
So maybe you could make an argument that Bill really hasn't changed. He would have always had anybody he thought could help him.
Yeah.
But I would say that there are some guys, the whole football is important thing. I love the way you articulated that with Haynesworth. That to me failed on every level.
Yeah. He did not.
That was not a Belichick guy.
Right.
That you would think. But maybe he would have been willing to take him on, but you know, back in 2001, Robert Kraft would have said, "But Bill, really, this is not the kind of guy we want associated with this team."
And now,
if Bill wants him, he's won. Maybe we can.
And also in 2001, if Bill Belichick's smart, which I think he is, he would say, "Our locker room can't support this guy. He's going to come in and be too much of an influence."
I do think it's changed, though. I do think there was a change there at some point. Now, however you want to define it, I think is open to interpretation, sort of subjective.
Yeah.
But I agree with Eric. I think there are some things that they sort of stood for, and that they not that they don't stand for it now, but they sort of veered away from a little bit.
They relaxed their requirements a little bit.
Kind of off the tracks a little bit.
Yeah. And you see that in college too sometimes. Colleges that relax their admissions requirements in order to get talent.
Freddie and I were having fun with Urban Meyer this morning.
I just saw a stat. In the 6 years that Urban Meyer was at Florida, 25 players were arrested 31 times over 6 years.
That's
25 players were arrested, a total of 31.
A total of 31 arrests involving 25.
A few of them had more than one arrest. Yeah.
That's a lot, you know.
Yeah.
For a college program.
And this is a guy that supposedly, you know, carries himself as, you know, being spiritual and wanting to affect the kids and mm-hmm. And impact the young men. And his wife was supposedly involved in almost like a social worker type of.
Are these more serious arrests than just like a bar fight or
I'm
just,
sure a lot
you
of
know.
Them were.
I'm sure they ran the gamut. Yeah. I'm sure there was some gun charges mm-hmm. along with, altercation.
Speeding
on campus.
Tickets or,
I was telling Paul at the coaches clinic this March, we had the head coach, the now head coach for Boston College mm-hmm. there, Steve Addazio, and he gave the keynote in the afternoon. And he was an assistant down in Florida with Urban Meyer. And he said back then, he said every school program needs a mission statement. You know, so when a player comes in, they're given this mission statement, and this is it. This mm-hmm. is what you adhere to. Down in Florida, the mission statement included things like you won't have a gun and you won't hit women. He's like, really? You need to put that in your mission statement?
Yeah.
So it kind of tells you what was going on down in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, that they felt they needed to actually spell that out, that you can't do those things.
Is that wrong?
Don't kill him.
Should I not have done that?
So
it's amazing the program that guy was running. I was saying to Fred, you know how you sort of identify different eras with like the corrupt pro, like you think of the 80s
Oklahoma
with Barry Switzer,
Miami,
the 90s with you're going to associate mm-hmm. the Urban Meyer Florida teams with this that era is going to be associated with. Mm. That corrupt program of the time.
Yep.
And ironically, as me and Fred were joking, led by the squeakiest of clean quarterbacks that you could ever get, and Tim Tebow.
Yeah. So my reaction last week was first on, it was almost like the death where you go through the phases, mm-hmm. but it ended up being anger. Just angry at Hernandez, especially what he did in August in 98.5 actually played the whole B-Lo Patriots Today segment where
I heard that.
They had, Hernandez talking about how he's going to make right decisions and how this is a life changer, and Robert Kraft saying now he's, trust him to make the right decisions. So there was no doubt at that time when they signed that contract that they had a discussion with him, that they knew that he was hanging around with questionable people. There's mm-hmm. no doubt, because why would both Kraft and Hernandez mention making the right choices and decisions?
Right.
So they obviously had that. But, also as obvious, the Patriots had no idea what happened last summer or what alleged to have happened last summer.
Yeah, you would hope so. Yeah.
And they had no idea that he'd be capable of what he was alleged mm-hmm. to have done a couple weeks ago. But I'm just angry that, we were all duped. We were duped. Oh, I mean, but the guy, he showed up on time, other than being hurt too often and taking his helmet off. He was always there. He did everything they asked him to do. So what else can, I don't think they, could have known that he would have done something like this. And I hear people accuse.
It's
they should
not
have
fair.
Known.
It's not fair to
and
say.
That's ridiculous.
To extrapolate it and take it to this. It's not fair for anybody to take it to murder. But the other part of it, I do think it's another example, Fred, of something that I don't think they would have done 4 or 5 years. I don't think that they felt comfortable, for example. And I don't want to veer this off into a sociological conversation, but I don't think they felt comfortable with Asante Samuel. I just don't. I think they thought that he was about, quote unquote, the wrong things, the get paid and all that stuff, and they didn't want to give him the contract.
Right.
I think there's a lot of similarity.
Yep.
With this situation with Hernandez, and yet they wanted to give him the money instead of Wes Welker.
Right.
Mm. And I think that's something they wouldn't have done. And I think that that's another example of sort of a change. I'm not saying this like they came in one day and said, you know what, here's our philosophy. Let's throw that out the window. We're changing our philosophy. I don't think it was a conscious thing. I think it just sort of happens with decisions that sort of build up over time. And all of a sudden you ended up from point A to point B in a totally different place that you wanted to be.
Well, I think that if they were making the judgment of Welker versus Hernandez based on character, it's a slam dunk. You sign Welker.
Sure.
But I think that those were football decisions and you know.
But don't you think that they, as you just said, they had an idea of what Hernandez was into off the field? I'm not talking about the murder.
I'm talking about questionable people.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not a guy that they would have given the money to as a general rule.
Yeah.
Probably
and,
not. Yeah.
And, you know, like he duped us all. I'm not trying to come off as a 2020 hindsight guy, but I didn't buy the gala speech that he made.
See, I did. I'm a dummy.
I did.
I think anybody can find God after they get $40 million, and I thought that's what he was. I thought he was a fraud from the day he got here. I did not think anything like this.
But see,
okay, that doesn't mean that I took point A to point B.
Yeah, but
I never liked the guy. He rubbed me the wrong way. I thought he was a wise ass in the locker room to everybody. I didn't like him. I never liked him. Doesn't mean I thought he was capable of murder.
Right.
There's a huge leap.
See,
I
really bought it. You know,
I did too, though, Fred.
You know, because you look at the story of Aaron Hernandez losing his father at 16, and everybody pointing to that as a point where he kind of started separating himself with everybody and brooding and being, you know, more quiet and zoning out and all that stuff. And then you look at this opportunity here where someone like a Robert Kraft and obviously a Bill Belichick says, you know what? We have faith in you.
Mm.
We trust you. We're going to do this for you. And sometimes that can change someone's life where, hey, you know what? I'm not out there on my own.
Right, because
there are people who
he had,
you know
he had his older brother.
For? Lawyer Malloy.
Okay.
I think that worked for Lawyer Malloy. I think Malloy was very much on a similar path when he probably first got to the league. We heard some stories about his troubles at the University
of
Washington.
That's very true. It's a good
matter
comparison.
Of fact, he had one with Corey Dillon. He had a run-in with Corey Dillon at Washington. Remember that story that we heard?
Hmm.
And I think that's a guy that sort of got to the NFL, got some money, had someone believe in him, and I think he took it to heart, and I think he ended up having a long career.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not saying that he did everything right in his life, Lawyer Malloy. I'm sure he made plenty of mistakes as a pro, but I think for the most part did sort of turn it around and had a productive life.
You know, and for those people who say, well, you know, even if the Patriots just thought he was hanging out, they should have followed him. They should have had somebody following him around. Really? Because I remember when the Red Sox did that with Mo Vaughn, and they got absolutely killed for doing that.
You could do it right.
Well,
and not have everybody know you're doing it.
You shouldn't be following people around, but I think to the point we were trying to make earlier, if there's a way that you do business, either you do business with people like him or you don't. And I think you have to follow that rule, regardless of what their talent level is.
That's kind of how I feel.
But I think in the NFL, you have to weigh all that. You also have a responsibility to your fans to win football games.
Yes.
And sometimes you got to deal with some not so, you know, Bill Parcells always said, we're not running the Boy Scouts here.
But to me, I always had.
We got 53 guys, and not everyone's
going to
be
Tim
Tebow.
But you know what's the key? The key to the Boy Scout thing to me is what you did with Aqib Talib. You have him on a short leash, and you control it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you brought him in last year. He had to be on his best behavior. Mm-hmm. Now you re-sign him on what?
A one-year
deal.
Right.
But a one-year prove-it-to-me deal.
Yeah.
Okay? I would be very much not in favor if they gave him a five-year, $35 million contract.
I'd be scared.
I'd be scared.
Yeah. But
just like in retrospect, I didn't think I said at the time I was stunned that they gave Hernandez that contract. And I said it at the time. That's not 2020 hindsight. I didn't like it.
But because of who he was or just
because I didn't think that he'd be able to handle it.
Really?
Now, not because, again, I don't want to come off as a smarmy know-it-all after the fact. I didn't know this was going to happen. I had no idea that he was capable of this kind of stuff.
And, again, it's all alleged.
Yeah, well.
We have to say that.
You know, So I don't want to, but I want to really caution. I'm not trying to come off as this 2020 hindsight guy that knew all this stuff. I didn't. I just thought that he was the, you know, the prototypical guy. It's just like, you know, Corey Dillon worked in 2004. Why? Because he had something to play for. Then they gave him a contract. Then he went in the tank for 2 years. Did nothing in 05 and 06. Randy Moss came in 07, was unbelievable. Mm. And they gave him a contract. And by 2009, he was in the tank.
Right. Well, and
you've got to keep those guys on a short leash.
I agree. I mean, even with Moss, I said, you know, the Patriots are whistling past the graveyard every year mm-hmm. that they get a good year or at least a non-distraction year from him.
Right.
Because we all knew, at least I did, or suspect. This isn't going to last forever.
You did. Yeah. And it didn't. Listen, it was the same pattern. Dillon was outstanding in 04. Then they gave him a contract. They re-upped him. Now you don't have that control anymore. Moss was outstanding in 07. Then they gave him the new contract. You know, 08 was the wasted year when Tom goes down. But by 09, the middle of 09, we were saying that he wasn't playing hard. Remember?
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then in
2010, sitting at the end,
in 2010 he was gone.
Right.
Being a loner.
It blew up on him twice, and they did it again for the third time. With a very similar kind of pattern.
Yep.
As long as you have him under your control, it works. Once that guy has the control, and let's face it, for pro athletes, the control is the contract.
Yeah. Freddie, I've been getting a lot of question, a lot of the same question from people that I bump into who want to talk about this subject, and that is...
Is Paul Perillo that smart and good-looking in person?
Is Paul Perillo
That's the second question.
Only at a Babies R Us parking lot.
No, they want to know, are the Patriots kicking themselves now for letting Welker go? And my response to them is just, well, I don't know what the front office thinks, but I know what I think, and I thought all along they shouldn't have let Welker go, regardless of Hernandez getting in trouble or Gronk being hurt or not. I just didn't want Welker to go. But that's the question I keep getting. Do you think the front office is now regretting that decision?
You know, I think you separate the two things. I think that if they knew they weren't going to re-sign Hernandez for whatever reason, then I don't think they would have been, you know, that worried about spending a little extra on Welker. But by the time Welker went out to test the waters and they had Amendola, ready to go, at that point they looked at what they had and said, we got a lot of people in the middle here. You know, having Welker in addition isn't going to help us. You know, so we've got to look for other guys outside. And I know for a fact that after they signed Amendola and Welker came back and said, hey, you know, let's sit down again. They sat down and said, can we have both of these guys? And it wasn't a money issue.
It wasn't a money issue.
Right. It was a football decision.
Right.
It was... You know,
no, but I guess I wonder now, though, let's assume. Yeah, I mean, that's assuming that there's no Hernandez troubles and Gronk is healthy. And, okay, you bring in Amendola, you swap Amendola for Welker, and maybe you get, like, maybe not a Mike Wallace, but you get another good receiver on the outside in free agency or whatever. The loss of Welker is now mitigated because Brady still has targets to throw to.
Right.
Now... You don't have Hernandez. You don't have Gronk for God knows how long. You have questions at all over wide receiver. And you have a quarterback who, though he's not saying it publicly, you have to think is fuming on the inside that his best friend on the team is no longer.
It'd have to be crazy right now if for whatever reason, Welker was available, that they wouldn't take him back, of course. Right. I mean, yeah. You know, you don't have
– Yeah.
Now you've taken away another slot. Option.
Yeah, I'm fine. You know? I'm fine with it. I'm still fine with it because, I mean, listen, it's a risk. It's a huge risk because Eric's right. You don't know. Listen, if you knew that he was going to play 16 games, then I think you're fine. You don't need them both. But that's a big if. That's a big question with Amendola. But listen, I'm fine with moving on. I'm sort of looking back. I'm thinking back a year before it came to that. Remember, he was franchised. Mm-hmm. And there were reports that the Patriots were sort of upset with him when he signed the franchise and then they didn't get a deal done. Remember when he didn't sign?
Right.
The inference was the Patriots expected to sign him to a long-term deal at some point between when he signed that franchise tag in July. I think July 16th was the deadline.
I think that's
and they were very upset. That was the reports. that he was the Patriots were upset with Welker for not signing, and all of a sudden turn around. How far after that July 16th deadline does we have that conversation at the gala? Was that the end of August?
Right.
Like a month later, Hernandez is signed with the $40 million that, you know, who knows, maybe it was earmarked for Welker.
Yeah.
And I wonder if there was just some cause and effect there that they were, I actually never really thought much of those reports that said why would the Patriots be upset at Welker?
Well,
I'm sure there was a negotiation that they wanted to sign and they weren't happy.
There was no
doubt. Why were they pissed off at Welker?
They were definitely pissed off with his agent, and so that becomes Welker, but I know that they don't think that the agent handled that the right way, and you know.
But I'm going back to the free agent. I'm going back to when he was franchised.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
Going back a full year earlier.
I'm telling this whole agent thing was over a year in the making. This problem with Welker's agent, and who knows who's right? Right, the truth is usually somewhere in the middle. But I know that that's part of the stance of the Patriots is that his agent screwed it up. So
I just wonder. I just hope it didn't come from a bad place. You know, I hope it wasn't, you know, we're upset with Welker and the Welker camp. And you know what? We're going to turn around. We're going to throw that money at Hernandez instead. Not that it was a dumb football thing. You had these two young dynamic tight ends that you want to lock up. I think signing players like that early is smart business. I think you saved money in the long run. Now, the problem I have was you signed a guy. I think that's a guy in Hernandez that you should have waited as long as you possibly could because of his tenuous history. And I don't care what anyone says. They knew some of this of this activity that they knew about.
You don't mention the right choices by both parties right after you sign the deal if that wasn't a discussion or grounds for signing the contract.
Sure.
You know?
I think they should have waited as long as they could on him. Gronkowski, to me, was a different story. And I'm sure they have their reservations with Gronkowski, too, because he's always out there partying. You know, it was just we have never really heard of him out there with a bad element. He seems to be a kind of guy that likes to go out and have a good time, and he generally stays out of trouble. But it's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds in the future now, the next kind of guy that is going to be in line for a contract like that. You know, let's say for argument's sake, Aaron Dobson just comes in here and just rips it up for 2 years. Great, you know, be great for the Patriots and go a long way to solve this problem that we're talking about. Well, let's say he catches, 70 passes this year and like 90 next year. You know, do you sit down and get him re-upped?
Right.
You know, yeah. He's a young receiver.
Absolutely.
He looks like he's doing all the things right.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see the next time they're faced with a skilled guy that they want to get done early if they're at all reticent to do it.
I think you got to keep doing it.
I think you do too. I think it's good business. I'm totally with you. I think it's good business.
All right. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. We got a first caller here. Haven't heard from him in a while. Mike in Puerto Rico. Hey, Mike.
From Puerto Rico via California now.
Okay, where in California?
Dublin.
Dublin, California.
Where's that?
Close to Ireland.
That's actually in Ireland.
It's 45 minutes from San Francisco, 45 minutes from San Jose, and 45 minutes from Sacramento. So,
all right, so you're in the Pacific Ocean.
I just assumed he was in Houston.
Right? Yeah, I went from the Atlantic all the way to the Pacific now.
Cool. All right.
I just wanted to vent for a couple of minutes. I play Words with Friends with Andy for a while and beat him quite a lot, actually.
Not surprised.
There. But I sent him a text the other day because this Hernandez thing, and I don't know how much you guys are talking about this, hurts me on a personal level because it affects me on two sides. It affects me, first of all, he was one of my favorite players on definitely my favorite team. But then also I really like the fact that, you know, he had Puerto Rican blood in him. He had that Puerto Rican heritage, and he was bringing it up, you know. And he was, you know, giving us a presence in the NFL, him along with Victor Cruz. And then to see this happening, I mean, I was in a bad place last week when all this was going down. You know, I'm not a very religious man, but I was just like, please, you know, by any means necessary, just had something come to light that, you know, that it wasn't him, that it's just a misunderstanding, that this is just, you know, wrong place at the wrong time. But this whole situation is really, really, you know, dragging on me.
Yeah, I feel for you. I can understand where you're coming from.
So, and it's really sad. And, you know, on top of that, you know, the whole situation with the turmoil of the team, the discussion you guys were just having about Welker. Now, this team is in some real flux with this whole situation. I was actually kind of, I mean, I appreciate everything Welker did for the team, but I was really excited to see, you know, the offense take a new direction with just Hernandez and Gronk up the middle, you know, taking place of Welker's production and then seeing what the outside would bring. But now just Gronk and maybe what percentage of Gronk we get during this year, no Hernandez, it's going to be tough.
They've got their work cut out for them. There's no doubt. Josh McDaniels, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, you know, Brian Daboll, perhaps. He's now I noticed he's offensive assistant.
Yes.
He's not a coaching assistant. He's offensive assistant.
Yes. Now he's working with the offensive line.
Yeah. Right? So, I mean, he'll probably be involved in some point, in some way. They've got their work cut out for them. You know, this is not going to be easy. You know, because you have to do it two ways. You have to do it for without Gronk, and then what happens when Gronk comes back. So, you know, it's going to be difficult.
I have a couple of questions on this. How much do you think, and I know I've heard some conversations on this on the podcast that I listened to, how much do you think Shane Vereen will, you know, impact this whole situation? How much more involved is he going to become now? And then my second question, just to listen online, what about Sudfeld? Sudfeld?
Sudfeld. Well, yeah, tight end. We'll talk about him. All right, thanks for the call, Mike. Don't be a stranger. You know, the first question for Reen, we all think that his opportunity is huge this year. And we had him here in the studio, and he agrees.
Yeah, I agree, too. I just don't think they're going to change the offense because of him or
no,
make the offense go around
that,
him.
Or catches that Woodhead had could be his now.
Right, but I don't think that's a product of Hernandez not being here or Welker not being here. I think that's a product of Woodhead not
that
being here.
And that would have happened anyway.
And right. And as far as Sudfeld goes, I mean, you know, he's a rookie undrafted free agent. They at least one of them makes the team every year, and I think right now he was the one guy in the rookie class who, to me, stood out in those spring practices. So
right.
I think
I heard one of the weekend guys on it was either 98.5 or EEI this weekend going crazy about Zach Sudfeld. Oh,
yeah.
You know, I watched him, you know, back when he was in college, and this guy's great.
I mean, let's not
like,
go crazy about
him. He didn't get drafted.
Yeah.
And my only question to that would be, which year out of the six did you watch him that he was actually on the field? Because that's why he wasn't drafted, because he was constantly hurt. He was at Nevada for 6 years, and he played really only one of those 6 years that he got any significant production out of. But
so
that's where you can really you can really catch guys and stuff like that.
But he has looked good in training camp.
And certainly without
Hernandez.
Without Hernandez, certainly his odds of making the team increase just from a number standpoint, because there are fewer tight ends now that he has to contend with.
He's going to get the reps.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to eat a little lunch here for a few minutes, pay some bills, and we'll be right back. Lots of emails. We'll get right to them.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback. A running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows, and a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking, and there's this weather coming, and it's like dark clouds, and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows, and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes, and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. And his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one knew, ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks, babe. It was hang attached to his hip. While.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Eric's here, Paul's here, Fred's here, Pepe's in the booth. It's the summer of Andy, at least for today.
It's the summer of Kevin, too.
Yeah, Kevin, he hasn't come back from France
I don't
yet?
Think so.
I thought he was back this week.
Maybe he's an expat.
He's back tomorrow.
Get it?
He's back tomorrow. Have we heard any updates from him?
I've not heard anything.
No?
Maybe he's seeking asylum, like Edward Snowden.
Okay. Did he baguette any women?
Oh.
Nope.
Good, Fred.
All right. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Brian from Essex, Vermont writes in, those criticizing the Patriots for should have known, so should the police about these numerous issues that have come up since the murder charge, and so should the media. You're telling me the police immediate don't have a further reach than the Patriots? I really think people overestimate the omnipotence of the Patriots organization. That having been said, F. Hernandez, whether he pulled the trigger or not, he put himself close enough to the situation to tell us all we need to know about this character. Stupid thug kid, given the world only to throw it down the drain because he can't trust anyone. Whatever. Only a scumbag picks up a gun to solve his problems. So assuming that he did, but we don't know. But, yeah, I mean, again, Brian's a lot like me. He's angry, you know? We gave you this chance, and you can ask for help.
Not only did they give him the chance, but he made a lot of people believe that he was changing.
Right.
Or changed.
Right.
You know, he made a lot of people believe that this was a new beginning for him.
Right.
And, you know, people put their trust, their faith in these players, and
right.
He went and
at least Corey Dillon was just a jerk.
Yeah, he never made
he
such
never
promises.
Never made any bones about it. Right. I'm a jerk, mm-hmm. And that's who I am.
I'm here to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
That's it.
Good
Leave
point.
Me alone.
Higgins and Hopkinton says, what a crazy few weeks. What's the mood like over there? Are people walking on eggshells? Is it pretty empty? If so, what do you expect the first day or two back to be like? Well, a lot of people. You know,
it's regular this way. Last week there was a little of that.
Yeah.
What was the day? Was it Thursday?
Well, Wednesday was.
Wednesday
the
was the arrest.
Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last Wednesday was the arrest.
That so was up until that was then, a very very strange day.
Yeah. I think people were on eggshells up until then because you were just waiting for something to happen, something significant to happen, because every day you were hearing more reports and things were seeming to get worse and. You know, how much is he involved? When are the police going to make a move? And
yeah, the day that he actually got arrested and then we subsequently released him was a strange day. There was a lot of that eggshells stuff that you're talking about. But since then, you know, it's been pretty much business as usual. And certainly this week, you know, there's people on vacation, but you wouldn't know when you walked in, like, oh, geez, that team's really dealing with a you know, a problem of enormous magnitude. But, you know, how it's going to affect the team itself, you probably won't know. I mean, they're not going to talk about it. They're not. It's going to be something that they're going to be instructed not to really address.
Right. Higgins also says, what's your take now on downgrading value versus personality? Randy Moss and Corey Dillon worked, risks that paid off. I'd hate to see us never take a flyer on a guy who might be a troubled person in the past. Hernandez is the worst of the worst, likely never to repeat. I'd hate to see a skip good value because of this.
Well, I talked about that.
I think it might be more. I think you still got to take those risks, but
yeah,
maybe without violating someone's privacy, you do take measures once they're here.
Yeah, and if you characterize Moss and Dillon as risks that worked, then you have to characterize Hernandez as a risk that worked too. I mean, they drafted him in the fourth round, and he got 3 good years.
Mm.
I mean, he actually was successful for longer than Dillon or Moss were.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, I mean, if you say that it the other ones were successful, then this one's successful too. This one just blew up in a much grander fashion. I mean, no one could have possibly envisioned.
I would rather they just come out and say, you know, we're willing to take these risks instead of, you know, propagating the Patriot way myth.
Yeah, and again, I
either you do or you don't. Either you do want those kind of players to take the risk, or you
don't. They don't exactly run away from when people say, like, well, this is a non-Patriot kind of thing. They don't exactly run away from the fact that, you know, they do try to do it with different people, which you know, I think sometimes rubs people the wrong way. But I agree with the emailer. I think that you need to have some guys. You can't just field a team full of, you know, squeaky clean, you know, Boy Scouts. You're not going to win.
Right.
You're not going to win doing that. I mean, in an ideal world, you have all these guys that stand for and do the right thing, but it's not realistic, especially in football where you have, you know, 53 players on a team. To have them all from the same kind of background with the same ideals, it's not going to happen.
Well, but there are people who will make the argument that, let's say, you know, Hernandez with his questionable dealings and you know, the marijuana mm-hmm. positive tests and everything, comes out of Florida and goes to, I don't know, pick a big any big corporation or established company, and it applies for just a regular job.
Yeah.
And all of this stuff comes out, you know, that he has marijuana tests in his history, that maybe he has some gang history. He comes in with all his tattoos. Does he get hired by XYZ Corp? You know, chances are, no, he doesn't, over somebody else who's either equally or less talented, because someone equally or less talented doesn't have the skeletons in his closet.
Well, yeah.
So why should pro sports be any different? That's the argument that a lot of people are making, too.
But in the fourth round, was he far and above what was there? You know, so it, yeah, it all...
See, that, the last part of that is the key, the equal or less talented.
Exactly. What you're saying, obviously, if everything's equal, you
take
the
guy
that's
it's got a good reputation.
But you know, if you're the NSA, for example, and there's some whiz kid that can crack any code, and he's covered with
marijuana,
or covered with tattoos, and even maybe had a felony in the past, maybe you still take them on. Mm-hmm. And they've had history of doing this,
right?
They take criminals and they have them work for them because they're just better,
right?
You know?
That's an interesting.
Catch Me If You Can, the movie.
Yeah, about the first thing I thought of when Fred started talking about that.
So I think in any profession where talent is an issue, and some are better than others, you weigh that risk.
And a couple emails ago, by the way, talking about you want to point fingers at the police. I think that's fair. But the media has more resources than the team in that regard. That's fiction. I mean, the team has a much wider scope of resources at its disposal than the media will ever think about having. And the media is reliant upon people to tell them things. I mean, sources.
Yeah, they can look things up.
You know, the
up.
News reporters, when they're in tight with the, you know, the people in the police departments and whatnot, and spokespeople, they don't have the ability to get information that the team would have.
Di says that she is the only non-Cowboy fan in Dallas, and she's
probably
writing
true.
In. And she says, I'm over the Hernandez and the barrage of 24/7 news coverage about him. It's not any less disappointing or heartbreaking than it was a week ago. It's like having a younger brother or friend who is embattled in an awful mess, and you just can't get past the why. There was an interesting story on Fox News by Dr. Keith Ablow, a forensic psychologist, inside the mind of Aaron Hernandez. I'm glad he could go in there. He gives the perspective that Aaron's troubles started as a kid and were not one particular happening, but a combination of episodes that were a recipe for disaster. He says childhood trauma, death of his father, rage, helplessness, exposure to gangs, drugs, and even repeated head trauma are textbook trajectory to spending decades in prison. He said if all the allegations are true, Aaron is not different than most criminals in prison, except for his day job was working in the NFL and earning $40 million. So basically, he's a classic textbook criminal. The article helped put a little perspective to the why, and helps moving forward as many are looking for some type of closure. Also over, losing Welker to Denver. Everyone's doom and gloom on the state of the offense. People ranking Manning over Brady. Denver being better than New England. How many times in the last few years have the Broncos beat the Patriots? And all the talk of the decline of the Patriots. Feeling optimistic about the upcoming season to see how the Patriots flourish through all the setbacks and challenges they face ahead. Looking forward to seeing how the new offense comes along and if how the added talent to the defense will really make a positive impact. Regardless, I will be cheering along every step of the way.
Yeah, listen, I haven't seen as much of the doom and gloom in terms of the Patriots outlook as some other people do. We talked about this a little last week, Fred. I wanted to get a checklist for you when you were gone, some people that we could sort of pay back, because I have no doubt the Patriots are still going to be a very good football team. And I haven't really heard a lot of the so-called experts on ESPN or NFL Network writing off the Patriots' chances. I haven't seen or heard a lot of that. There's no question the offense is going to have some transition here. And I've been one of the few people that have stood by, but this is going to be a blow. Losing Hernandez is going to be a blow to that offense. They're going to have to do it a little bit differently. Denver's getting love because they finished ahead of the Patriots last year. So why wouldn't they be considered? I mean, you know, on paper, and we all know what paper means, nothing until people get on the field and start playing, but they finished with a better record than the Patriots last year and would seemingly have improved themselves in the offseason, while the Patriots didn't.
Right.
So, I don't think that's outrageous to suggest that Denver at 13-3 last year is better than they were last year.
Is there any way the Patriots can use this whole situation to their benefit?
They'll try.
In terms of rallying.
They'll try.
But us against the world.
It wouldn't be a wise thing to do publicly. I will say that.
Oh, no.
But they'll. I would guess that Bill will try to do some of that. It's just like with the Spygate stuff. We didn't hear it
right
publicly, but you know that they used it privately.
Oh, yeah.
And I think
Brady pretty much admitted it
yeah,
afterwards.
I think that will be something that they'll try to do. But, again, I don't really hear a lot of, you know, I guess last week on Thursday, I think some of the Twitter people, I know strippers sent me something. Sean O'Hara, is that his name? The former offensive lineman for the Giants?
Yes.
He, I guess, had mentioned that they were going to be hard-pressed to win the division again. I think that's few and far between, that line of thinking. I've seen some of the other guys, some of the NFL live cast on ESPN. They're talking about where do they go from here offensively without Hernandez. Fair questions. We just spent 45 minutes doing it. But does anybody really believe they're not going to win the division?
Right.
It's a joke.
I agree,
it's a
Bill.
Joke.
I'm with you.
Let's go to the phone. Eldridge is in North Carolina on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Well, good. I'm like I said, I'm with y'all on most of the things, except for a few things, you know, and that is those three Super Bowls we won. I give Bill three good picks. That was Brady, Seymour, and Vince Wilfork. Now, the free agency, Rodney Harrison, Rodney Poole, and that's about it. But other than that, most of the guys we won Super Bowl with was Bill's team, Bill Parcells' team.
Okay.
You know. And I think that tight end, I don't know where we go from here, to be honest with you. You know, because those receivers, it has to be up on Brady.
So whose team was it that went 16-0 in the regular season?
16-0.
Yeah.
We went 16-0, but still, we didn't win the big one.
All right, can I just, Eldridge, can I just step in here for a second? Because I can be as contradictory as anybody, as everybody knows.
Okay.
But, so three draft picks they had. Brady, Seymour, and Wilfork.
That panned out just better. Okay.
Matt Light wasn't any good. Asante Samuel wasn't any good.
Asante Samuel.
Matt Light. Ty Warren.
None of those guys were any good? Was he better than Long? Okay.
Was he better than Law? What difference is you didn't ask me that. You said he only had three draft picks that were very good. Was Asante Samuel better than Ty Law? No. Asante Samuel was not better than Ty Law. No.
No, he wasn't.
But that's not a prerequisite to be a good player, to be better than Ty Law. He was a good player, and he was drafted. Dan Copen, was he a good draft pick?
Copen, we got rid of him. Evidently, he didn't last for a couple of years.
You got rid of him 10 years later.
just like Mayo. Okay, if you had your choice between Mayo and Patrick Willis, who would you pick?
If I had that choice, I would have taken Patrick Willis.
So
I didn't
would
have,
they.
I didn't
the
have that
year,
choice.
So would
same
they.
Year, same draft class, right?
No.
Same year. Come on now. Willis only been in the league 6 years. Mayo been in the league about 6 years. Come on. Come on now.
Okay, we can just put him in this. We can just put him in the same draft class if you want to.
Okay, let me cut it out. I'm just like everybody else, though. I'm a little worried. I'm a little, what you call
And free agents, it was only Rodney Harrison in free agency and Tyrone Poole. Mike Vrabel wasn't a good free agent pickup.
Corey Dillon was a pretty good agent, but he had nobody, like I said, with nobody else a little bit better. Corey Dillon was good. Or Wrigley's coming along. Wrigley's coming along, but you got to give time.
All right, so they haven't won a Super Bowl since 2004, but they've won more football games than any other team. They must have done something.
They won
right.
a football game, exactly. Right. But when we come to the big one, like I said, small ball.
And what
win.
Team is winning the Super Bowl every year that you think is that much better than us?
The Giants.
They're winning it every year?
They're not winning it every year, but the years we went against them.
Yeah.
Yep. We should have been there against them, but we played the Ravens in the championship, but we lost that one. And like I said, it's just,
Eldridge might have a point because every year that they don't win the Super Bowl, they want to fire Tom Coughlin. So it's not just here, you know?
Yeah. he always ends up getting an extension out of
right,
it, though.
You know?
But it's, like I said, I'm just a little worried, but I'm still going to support my team anyway. But Bill, like I said, y'all keep giving Bill praise, but like the Patriots way or whatever. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody, you know, like I said, take chances on players. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every team does.
Yeah.
But it seems like you said earlier, I'm just tired of value instead of picking the guys number one in their position. instead of picking value.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because sometimes value isn't value.
No, I know.
It's just
you,
a bunch of players.
You like moving up.
No, listen, I get your frustration, Eldridge.
Thanks, Eldridge.
And I'm not going to tell you that every move and every pick that they've made is the right one. But I just think that you're grossly diminishing the amount of talent that Bill Belichick brought here as well. Did he have a nucleus of talent to win the three Super Bowls that was left over from Parcells? Yeah.
On defense, for sure.
Yeah, well, yeah. But even like guys like Troy Brown.
Yeah.
Huge
yeah.
parts of those Super Bowl teams. You know, they had, and they probably wouldn't have won those Super Bowls without the likes of Brewski, Law, Johnson, Malloy,
McGinnis.
Brown, McGinnis, you know.
Yep.
There was some good, good players that
but
were left over.
But bringing in Ted Washington
but,
was a great
but
move
to
that
just
year.
Dismiss the amount of draft picks and just say it was Brady, Will Fork, and who was the other one he said? Oh, Seymour.
Seymour.
You know, those are the only three good draft picks. I mean, come on.
Mark and
I
Wilbur,
already told you, Bill does a very, very good job of drafting.
Very, very.
Very, very
Mark and Wilbraham says, do you think Mr. Kraft will tighten the reins because of the Hernandez situation? If so, could this cause friction between Bill and Mr. Kraft if Mr. Kraft does take some control back? If I was Robert Kraft, the last thing I'd want is more control of the football team. This is the guy that I'm paying to do it. And
if
he's
feel
not
like
doing
that,
a good job, change it up.
Yep. If you feel like that, it's time to make a change.
Exactly.
I agree with you, Freddie.
Yeah.
And I think Robert's far too smart, both in football and in business, to think like that.
That's
if you don't have a guy that you can trust making the decisions, time to move on.
And
I don't think we've gotten to that.
He knows the minute he does that, as long as Bill Belichick wants to coach some other team, we'll give him a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's ridiculous. Mike.
What a story that would be.
Oh. That would be huge.
You talk about Andy Hart's
good story.
That's a great story.
Yeah. Mike and Charlotte, let's face it, Welker and his agent misread the market and pushed too long for the big money he thought he'd get. The Patriots went out and found a younger replacement at the correct market value. Had he been more realistic about what he should have been paid, he'd still be here, that's Welker, and the Patriots would not have gone out and found his replacement. I think the Patriots.
That's fair. That's fair, but I think it's a little bit short-sighted.
Yeah, so. I think the Patriots would say if his agent had been a little bit more realistic, we could have worked something out. And I think both sides got to the point where they weren't even talking and that whole thing, and then it got right to free agency, and the Patriots made their move. You know, they figured if we don't get Amendola, somebody else will, and we're not going to get Welker back because of the divide.
I still think that Welker got more money than the Patriots offered him when he was a franchise guy. Because, when he was franchised, it was nine and change, right? And then he got 10 at Denver. So they were offering him 16. So he's going to get 19. Now, you could make the argument that it's going to, it's not guaranteed like Mr. Kraft was talking about with Denver. But I don't think that this was the egregious screw up on Welker's camp's part that it's sort of being portrayed by Patriots fans now. We sort of try to portray it that way too. I mean, I think to put it all on
Welker. But I think you're
Welker's.
Right. He got a little bit more Denver, but I think that there was such a divide between what he was at first asking the Patriots and what they were offering that maybe both sides decide there's no reason to talk here. Whereas the Patriots probably would have gone up a little bit. To 10 or 11.
Yeah, and I also think he could have gotten more if he just wanted to go to any team.
Maybe.
I think he was offered more to Tennessee, for example, than he took in Denver.
That's right, he was.
So, was he going to get the $31 million that Amendola got? No. The emailer nails that one. The market value, based on the player's ages, that's what dictated it. And Amendola is much younger, and that's why he got more money.
Sven in Sweden says, the new CBA doesn't allow you to sign a new contract until after the third season, so the Patriots won't have to worry about signing any early extensions to any new players. Is that right? After the third season, you can't extend?
But, see, it doesn't matter when you do it, when you're allowed to do it. It's before the contract is up is
right.
the point.
Yeah. Nick and Victoria, thanks, Freddie. You're back. Talk me off the ledge. I'm staring at the sporting abyss with the current outlook for the Patriots' 2013 season combined with the Bruins' tragic loss.
as kind of an aside, I don't know what to say about the influx of political. Well, we're not going to talk about political stuff. Did you guys talk about politics again last week?
Yeah, a little bit.
Did we?
Yeah.
I must
remember. No, Jamie and Houston called in about the guns.
When I was here.
No, yeah,
no.
Some guy from Canada ripped Jamie and Houston, and Jamie and Houston
burned
himself. But I didn't really.
All right, so there was fallout from that the last couple of shows too.
But you know, look, I think
Bill's in trouble.
I'm excited about this season. You know, yes, I do have trepidation, but I'm excited to see how the Patriots pull through this and really come out successful anyway. You know, that's what I'm looking forward to. Now, could I be disappointed? Yes.
Sure.
You know, anything can happen this year. We've seen it with other teams. Patriots have, you know, bucked the odds and remained consistent for over a decade now. That's really hard to do. And I'm thinking they're going to do it again, and I'm looking forward to how they're going to do that. I'm excited about that. So I'm turning this into a positive. But I'm fully, you know, aware of all the issues that could come to bear here. And that just makes it that much more exciting to me that they're going to overcome that.
And you're excited about Tebow.
Not really.
That wasn't bad. I thought you were.
I'm not excited about Tebow.
An hour and six for Fred to tell us all.
It's going to be fine.
It's going to be fine. It's not going to be fine.
No,
it is fine.
It is fine.
It's going to be. It's going to be.
It's going to be exciting.
Yes,
it is fine.
Yes.
It's going to be exciting.
At times you're going to have doubt, and that's going to make it all the more rewarding when they pull through. You know.
So
you
it's fine.
You need the.
You're
Paul
saying
clip.
It's going.
Fred,
to,
you don't even believe
times,
your own crap.
At times it will not look like it's going to be fine, but it will be fine.
I just think that with the division that you're in, it's fine. There's nobody that can beat you in that division. And that's
don't even believe your own crap.
I believe my own crap in this one. I just don't.
Fred doesn't.
I don't feel like Miami, the Jets, or Buffalo offers any sort of resistance. And I feel like that's an enormous advantage that the Patriots have going into every season. No competition within a division.
Let's see. Glenn from Natick says Tom Curran of CSNN went on a rant on Twitter last Friday about the Patriots' holier-than-thou position when they offered the Hernandez jersey exchange and about the right thing to do line in the release statement. In Curran's opinion, it's all about protecting the brand. He also went on to say on Twitter that the Patriots...
Of course it's protecting the brand.
Well, yeah.
He also went on
to... That's the most important thing we have.
He also went on to say on Twitter that the Patriots enabled a scumbag by giving him a lucrative contract. What are your thoughts on this? How much background check is allowed in prudent?
Whatever you want.
Yeah. I mean, you can't go reading people's
personal
mail but
right. That's the NSA's job.
Right.
But let's not be naive and say that you're not allowed to do that stuff.
Right.
Of course you are.
Right.
I mean, that's foolish. But, I mean, I would highly question Tom Curran. By the way, did you bring up Tom Curran, you know, story time? I had a dream last night.
Uh-oh.
And I was somehow.
You were fighting Curran?
No, we were driving somewhere, and I'm in the front seat. Tom's driving.
Oh, God.
Okay? And I don't know exactly where we were going or what the situation was, but it was almost like we were like on one of those movies where, you know, we were in pursuit of somebody. And Tom is driving exactly the way you would think Tom would drive.
Erratically?
Yes.
Speeding.
We're going, Fred, like up on sidewalks to avoid, because there were people walking in the street. And he's like going around. He goes up on a sidewalk around a parking meter, and he's like swerving back on. And all I can remember was like holding my hands over my eyes because I didn't want to look. And we're just zipping in and out of traffic, and somehow we managed to get through the city, and we navigated our way through. I don't know what we were chasing or running from. I don't know what the details were, but
right.
Somehow I was in the car with Tom Curran, and he was driving like his pants were on fire.
Wow.
Was it one of those dreams where you could see yourself, like you had an out-of-body dream, where you, like you were seeing yourself put your hands over your eyes?
I think I was feeling it.
You were feeling it?
Yeah, I think I was just feeling it. But, you know,
very
whatever. But, I mean, come on. I mean, the whole protecting the brand, all they're doing. But isn't that the number one priority right now?
Of any
company. You have is your word.
Yeah, it's your name. It's who you are.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean, I've been as critical as anybody of little things and – I'm sorry, but protecting your brand in a time like this is not something I think that I think that was a very smart business decision. I think that
the jersey exchange.
Yeah, I think that's a good move. Now, we know what it is,
right?
But so what? Yep. Are the people benefiting from it?
Sure. Yeah.
What's, I mean, do people have a problem with that in all seriousness?
And really, you know, there's been some misperception out there of the Patriots are trying to rid the world of 81 Hernandez jerseys. That's not why they're doing it. They're doing it for the people that are their customers who spent money with them to get some type of relief here. That's it. That's all. They're not trying to. If you want to go out and wear a Hernandez 81 jersey, go ahead.
You're not going to be banned from the stadium
right,
if you show up
right.
in the fall
go,
with
go
an 81.
Go ahead. If that's,
and I'm sure
you're going to get a lot of questionable looks.
Right.
No, I'm,
that, but
that's I'm sure
you.
You're going to get.
That's not
you know,
the goal is to rid the world of 81.
You know that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know that guy. That's the
oh,
same
yeah.
guy that wears the 69 shirt.
Right.
Same
right.
guy. He'll show up with a Hernandez. And fine. No one's going to. No, you're not going to be denied access
right.
because you have a Hernandez shirt on.
No.
But, I mean, I don't...
You're
going to
hear it from the crowd, though.
I don't see any problem with trying to, you know, put forth some sort of promotion where you're inviting people to come back, turn in the shirt, and get one in exchange.
The only criticism other than Tom's that I saw was some people wondering why it was only for one weekend and why it's not an eternal thing.
Fair point.
Yeah.
Fair point. But I also think that if you showed up with a Hernandez shirt, you probably wouldn't be denied.
Probably
You know,
not.
I mean, they're holding a sale. It's the same as any other sale.
Right.
You know, they're having a special time where they want you to come in.
Right. Exactly. Why
you know?
Don't they have Black Friday on
exactly.
more than Black
you know,
Friday?
Yeah. I mean, right. should you criticize the stores for that?
Right.
Why is it only on Black Friday?
Right.
I don't know. I just think people find a way, you know.
to complain about everything?
I don't see any problem with the Hernandez thing, and I'm as cynical and skeptical as anybody.
Yeah.
Something else I was going to mention. I forget what it was. Oh, speaking of CSN and NNE, they had a new show last night called The Show.
Oh, I heard.
And,
our guy's on.
It was a 90-minute show from 8:30 to 10, and Mark Bertrand from 98.5, who's going to be hosting our pregame social and postgame show on Patriots.com, was one of the panelists. Chris Gasper, who did an internship with PFW years ago, was also another panelist. And then they had some guy... Levine, I don't know who. Rich Levine.
Yeah.
And some woman named
Trenny.
Tukey.
Trenny.
What?
Trenny.
Trenny. Lopez?
Right? No. Kuznarek? Something like that.
She
needs to buy a
blonde.
And the four of them were on it, and they would have segments, and it was just like really a kind of a panel talk show.
Was it good?
No.
Oh,
Fred.
Oh.
But I'm just giving
so
them.
So blunt.
But it's just their first show, and it wasn't.
It was on for it was like one
hour
show
and a half?
For an hour and a half, or did they keep replaying it?
No, it was one show.
One
for
show
an hour
for 90
and
minutes.
I don't want to hear anybody talk just on one thing.
Well, that's what we do.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah, it was radio's different.
When was the last time we talked about just one thing?
No, but they would have different segments. So,
oh, once, okay.
You know, they would have like they'd give them these funny names, and she'd throw out topics, and they would react to them. And
no, I'll look for it. I mean, I heard. I know they've been promoting it a little bit, and I heard about it, but I didn't get a chance to see it last night.
And then at one point,
and I like. Chrissy Gasper
and
our guy, the Beatle.
And then one point, Bob Neumeier had an inset on the screen because he disagreed with what they were saying. And, you know, I've always said that youth is wasted on the young, and, you know, because they were all younger than him.
What's wrong with that?
But so we'll see. So every Monday, I don't know why I'm promoting him. Every Monday night at 8:30 on CSN and NNE, they're going to have this show.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do when it comes to Patriots talk.
Did they talk about Hernandez at all?
No, it was. I didn't see the whole thing. I saw most of it. It was mostly Red Sox.
They didn't talk about Hernandez? What did they Patriots talk about?
Right. It was mostly Red Sox.
Red Sox, the Bruins collapse, the Celtics cleaning house, you know.
Yeah.
No, nothing to see here.
It really was an infamous week in
Boston sports.
You know, Doc Rivers leaving, the Bruins choking.
The trade of... Garnett and Pierce, too.
That whole thing, that whole Celtics thing.
Ironically,
yeah.
The only team that really didn't have anything
the Red
go
Sox,
wrong was
the
Red Sox.
Oh.
And the Red Sox always have something going wrong.
Right. So, let's see.
I'm sure the Revolution tied at some point during the week.
I think they did, actually.
They did. 1-1 tie with Chivas.
Mm-hmm. They lost once and tied twice.
Oh, there you go. What are they now, like 5-5-5?
I think they're on the bubble for the playoffs, right, Matt?
They're the sixth seed right now.
Oh, they are. They made it above the line, the Mendoza line.
They're the sixth seed right now.
Okay, good.
Yeah, 5-5-5 will get you in.
Yeah, sure.
They have a winning record, Paul.
Do they really? 6-5-5. What's their record? Seriously,
5-5-1.
Matt, you
it?
Work for the team.
It's 5-5-1.
Ethan in Delaware.
There's no way they only tied once. They would get thrown out of the MLS.
5-1-5, whatever you want to call it.
They only have one loss?
I think they I think they do win.
It's not win, loss, and tie. They can't even do records the way everybody else does.
Yeah,
them.
I think they do it. Don't they do it differently?
Don't they
do it out of order?
And they're not ties or draws.
No, it's win, loss, tie.
They do win, loss, tie?
Okay, and what is it?
I'm a little disgusted with you, Pepe, for not knowing off the top of your head. I mean, the Patriots went 12-4 last year. I mean, there are things that we know, right?
Mm-hmm. Ethan says, you really would not change anything. One thing I would change, he says, you really would not change anything that the Patriots front office has been doing. One thing I would change immediately is to take Urban Meyer off the friends and family list. So far, that connection has not been a good one.
I agree. Let's go back to Nick Saban. It's like our old punchline from the draft. You know, let's stop, you know, cozying up to Greg Schiano and Urban Meyer, and let's get the guy who wins the national title every year now. You know, I think we all know that Urban Meyer's, you know, he's pretty dirty. Now, right. I'm sure Saban is too, but until he gets caught, let's milk that pipeline.
What do you got, Pepe?
They had a winning record before last week. Now they're 5-5-6.
5-5-6.
Pretty close, Paul.
Okay.
Come on now.
And that puts them at the sixth seed?
Puts them at the sixth seed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anthony.
5-5-6.
That's better than they were last year, though.
I was joking about the 5-5-5 thing.
They're better than they were last year.
Yeah. Anthony, also known as Little Rocco.
Is this in Naples?
Nope.
Oh.
This is another Anthony. He says he's a huge Patriots fan, love the show. And he has a potential Vegas bet. It's
prop bet. Vegas prop bet.
Right. 2,500 says Tom Brady doesn't win another Super Bowl. I bet against it just because I have amazing faith in Brady / Belichick. Hernandez doesn't jeopardize the Patriots' ability to produce offensively. Point in case. Isn't it case in point? So
yeah, I do like
Little Rocco do your betting. For
I do like the people that have come out with some numbers from last year. Remember when we talked about this last year? Hernandez missed a couple of games, and they scored like 40 points in the games that he didn't play, and suddenly he became unimportant.
Right.
You've seen a lot of that.
Well, too. According to Andy, it doesn't matter. I mean, he stinks anyway, so he shouldn't be a big loss in Andy's book. Now, if Andy says that the Patriots are going to lose because of Hernandez, then he's a fraud.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He had a disappointing season last year. Would you admit that?
But yes, in terms of what we thought he was going to do.
In terms of what we thought he was going to do.
But he was a big contributor to the wins.
Well, you could be a big contributor.
Andy thinks he stunk. Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Yes,
say
he did.
He
said that. He
said he had a bad year. There's a difference between stinking and having a bad year.
In terms of the expectations that we thought, he didn't live up to those. But he had a good year for any tight end by any measure. Of a tight end, he had a good year. Don't you think?
But, what are you basing it on?
Average tight ends.
Okay, yeah. So did Brandon Lloyd have a good year for an average wide receiver?
We know that.
No, I don't think he did because he didn't catch a lot of balls that he could have caught.
Right, exactly.
And he didn't make a lot of plays. Hernandez is very similar.
No.
He had terrific numbers and didn't make a lot of plays that he could have.
I think he had yards after catch.
And I'm not just saying that after the fact now that he's no longer here. I mean, these are things that we said last year.
No,
he struggled catching the ball.
I'm not going to go back on saying he was fine. He did not have a bad year.
I didn't say he was terrible. So you're saying because we said he had a bad year, that means he stinks. He doesn't stink. He does not stink. You're gonna miss him being part of your offense. There's no two ways about that. I don't think that makes you fraudulent if you thought he struggled last year catching the ball and that you'll miss him this year.
No.
I don't think that's contradictory.
He used the word stink.
Well, maybe he did, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to miss him.
Scott writes in, I imagine this is Bill's next press conference. I imagine at Bill's next conference he will avoid the whole topic of Hernandez and get right to talking about defense in the defensive backs to change the subject to the cornerbacks by saying something like, we are only going to talk about the felons that are here right now.
Wow.
Yeah. But, he's been consistent. He doesn't talk about players that aren't on his team. And Aaron Hernandez is no longer on his team.
He will never answer a question about Aaron Hernandez.
I do not expect him to answer with any kind of depth any questions on Hernandez.
On a different subject, I'm thinking about going to Gettysburg this week and would love to know if either Fred or Eric has been there. And, of course, not to forget Paul, what was the battle like?
Oh. See now.
Did
I've not
have
been
Diet
there.
Pepsi back then? I can see Paul with his mind.
With my musket.
With his musket. This little blue hat.
Right. I have not been to Gettysburg.
I've not been either. You have?
Yeah, I was there because we had a lacrosse tournament. We're supposed to get canceled. So we were there and we were going to do the whole thing. And then we got a call that the thing was canceled, or at least our team was canceled. And so we ended up leaving.
How
so
far is it from
tour.
Philly?
It's a good ride. It's past,
oh, it is?
Yeah, it's south of Pittsburgh. So you kind of veer, you go south.
I thought it was closer to Philly than it's closer to Pittsburgh.
Well, it's south of Pittsburgh, so it's southwest of Philly. I'd say it's a good 2-hour drive at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not an option for when we go play the Eagles.
Yeah.
It's too bad. 150th anniversary this year. This week, actually.
Oh. Yeah, I went into like the main hall that they have, and you know, they have some pretty cool things, but I didn't see any of the shows or go on the tour or anything.
You didn't walk the fields?
No, I didn't get to do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They have we had all lined up. We were going to take those Segways and do it.
A Segway on Gettysburg?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's better than in a car.
Yeah. I suppose, yeah.
How was that? My God.
Let's see. Brian writes in. It's titled Paul in the Media. So the Patriots knew about the numerous other issues that the police and media have now discovered? Really? Then why did they wait until the arrest to release him? Patriots are a very wealthy organization, but they've got nothing on organizations like News Corp and other massive media conglomerates. Get your head out of your ass, Paul. Head out of your ass.
All right. You're talking about two totally different things, okay? If you think that News Corp knows more about Aaron Hernandez than the Patriots, then your head is so far up your ass that you can't even see anymore. Because that's just a ridiculous assertion to say that the News Corp knows more about an individual player on a team than you do. That's apples and oranges. It's absurd. Now, if you want to criticize the police for evidently this guy has been on, a 2-year killing spree and evidently no one knew about it, I think the police are very much in question here as to why all of a sudden one thing triggered all of this. One thing happened and all of a sudden now you've tied this guy to all these different things. I think that deserves some criticism on the part of the law enforcement.
But, you know, it is called a break in the case, you know, and when no one's talking, it's really hard. But when, you know, they got this break and because of stupidity, it sounded like.
And before we continue to perpetuate myths, no one is suggesting that the Patriots should have known that he was involved in murder.
Right.
Okay? Nobody is suggesting that. And it's very unfair, I think, of people who have said they shouldn't have given him a contract because they knew he was involved in murder.
Right.
But don't tell me the Patriots didn't know he was involved with gangs, because everybody and their brother seemed to know that when he was coming out of college. So I'm sure the Patriots did too.
Vince.
And as Fred, as you pointed out, otherwise, why are we making comments at the time of the about making the right choices in the future?
Vince says, I think we'll be more than fine on offense. Gronk is Gronk. We know what he can do. Losing 81 is not that big of a deal. Yes, the rapport is gone, but hopefully this year we can develop one of those receivers that we drafted to end TB12 going off into the sunset. It doesn't have to be a for sure deep threat, just someone like Branch, as in someone that's on Tom's page and can make up for Tom's spidey sense. What do you guys think, and keep up the good work? Well, that's what we're hoping for, but we just don't know who it is right now.
Yeah. Well, I also think you just said two different things. You said they're going to be fine without those guys, but then you're saying hopefully one of these guys can emerge as, well, yeah, if somebody emerges as a Deion Branch type in his prime, then, yeah, they could be fine. But unless that happens, I don't think it's just going to be fine.
Speaking of Deion Branch, that was kind of an odd statement he made. Yeah, I understand you're a friend and friends are friends and you stick by your friends and all that. But, you know, contact him in prison. Go visit him. Support him that way. But to come out publicly and say that?
Odd.
I mean, look, if I love you guys, but, you know, Eric, if you killed somebody, I'm severing ties with you. I'm sorry, you know? You know, unless there's some extenuating, you know, self-defense or something like that, you know. But at some point you got to say, wow, this isn't the guy I thought he was.
Absolutely. In the same situation, you know, someone's going out and someone that you know, even a family member going out and behaving like this, doing something like he's alleged to have done.
Right.
How can you not? How can you not feel differently?
Right.
Even if it's someone that's in your family.
Right. Let's see. Michelle from Stockholm. Can't listen to you live, but I can't wait to listen to you tomorrow on the beach. I know the Summer of Andy is in its second phase, so I'm sure you'll have a calm show. Please correct me if I'm wrong. No, it's been pretty calm.
It's been a good show.
Putting Gronk on PUP before training camp means he can come back game one, but if he doesn't, he won't carry a roster spot. But what can he do during training camp? Is he allowed at the facility for rehab? Please set me straight. I'm having 2 weeks on the beach, just like Dr. Fred ordered.
If he goes on active PUP to start training camp, yes, he can be here and rehabbing and doing what he needs to do.
And when they do walkthroughs, you'll see him out there. But when they're practicing,
he won't be.
He'll be in the bubble, riding a bike or doing whatever or getting
right. They'll be, you might see glimpses of him in those circumstances, but you won't see him in uniform until he's activated. If he's activated before. If he's activated before the start of the season, he can't then go on PUP to start the season.
Right.
You have to have been on PUP.
His potential availability for week one has nothing to do with PUP. So if they want him to be available to be on the roster week one, then it has not. He doesn't have to be on PUP for that. But if you want to put him on PUP to start the season. Then he has to start camp on PUP.
Right.
That's the only stipulation. So he's going to open camp on PUP. That gives you the option to not practice him throughout training camp, and then you make a decision when the time comes before the start of the season.
James in Brisbane. Hey, guys, I go on holiday for 2 weeks thinking absolutely nothing
newsworthy
will happen. Then I come back to this. Your girl Sloane Stephens is in trouble.
I know.
Well, she's gotten broken like twice in a row.
Yeah. She's a cutie, huh? How old is she?
Although she's on the verge of breaking right back.
Am I allowed to have thoughts of her? Is she over 18?
I don't think you're allowed to have thoughts of her because you're over 50.
Not being a legal expert or even legal amateur, I'll steer clear of the trial stuff and just say that if he did it, then Hernandez will hopefully get what he deserves. I bought a jersey of his back in January, and it will never see the light of day again. In terms of replacements, I actually agree with Andy that Fells looks like the most obvious replacement. I was looking at the Denver game for a project for one of the websites I write for and noticed that he, in the absence of Hernandez, filled a similar role at times, lining up out wide and in the slot, but mostly as a tight end. Plus, also, he dropped the only pass thrown to him in the first half, so he can play that role, too. P.S., if you haven't had the chance, try and visit Vanuatu. Went there on my holiday, and it was great. New Caledonia was great. Was okay, nothing special. But Eric will like it because it is very French.
Mais oui.
Loser. Andy was very high last week, Fred.
Yes.
On Daniel Fells. Gets very upset for the people that overlooked Daniel Fells. What do you think of that?
I didn't. From what I saw last year, he looked like a stiff. I'm sorry.
A stiff is probably strong, but to me, he's sort of the epitome of a jag.
Yeah.
He's an NFL tight end, and he'll be fine, serviceable, but. I don't think that you're going to, he seems to think he's capable of all this stuff. Like, he just completely laughed at me when I said, you know, how much more has he done than Donald Jones did in Buffalo? Now, he's been around longer, so he has more of a track record. To me, they're really not anything special.
He looks slow to me and not athletic.
I don't know. I think he's reasonable.
We're comparing everybody to Gronk and Hernandez.
Yeah, I think he's reasonably athletic for a tight end. I think his athleticism for the position is probably on the high side, but he was dealing with a leg injury last year. That might have affected him.
I'll give him that if that's true. Sure.
Well, it is true. He had a shin injury.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, someone kicked him in the shin in like May, and he was like dead the whole year. I don't know what happened. I don't know what it was. They, you know, maybe
he left.
He left
the studio.
He had a stress fracture.
He left the studio after the interview.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we never saw him again.
Because it was something that he dealt with for a long time.
Yeah.
Look, I...
And it also stripped him, you know, what I think is extremely underrated. It stripped him of a lot of practice time. And he didn't really take part in training
Probably did
camp.
Anything in training
if,
camp.
If you said to me I had to choose between Daniel Fells and Jake Ballard, I'd choose Jake Ballard.
Yeah, see, I would take
I would
Daniel
choose Fells.
Fells
right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you want to go athleticism there, that's a blowout. Because Ballard doesn't have any athleticism at all.
Jeevan from Vancouver, two quick things. With the development of Aaron Hernandez, does his brother still have a role with the team? I remember that he was brought in as a tight end assistant or something. No.
No.
He was here in camp.
Yeah, in one of the spring camps, he was here.
He's an assistant.
He's a grad assistant at Iowa.
Right. He was just visiting. Also, what do you guys think about acquiring wide receiver Jeremy Maclin from the Eagles? It seems like he's not going to be extended after the season. He's young and could potentially start outside for us. I want to see the rookies get plenty of chances to flourish, but acquiring Maclin would make me feel a lot better about the offense.
Acquiring him how?
Yeah, I would feel better about it too, but what do you want to give up for him?
Right.
Because I don't think you're going to be able to get him. You're not going to get him on the cheap.
Anybody watching Wimbledon, did they just show Gabriella Sabatini in the stands?
In the crowd?
My all-time favorite.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it was her, though. Yeah. Oh, big fan.
Omar writes in, hello, Fred, Paul, and Andy, and bonjour, Eric. You should say bonsoir.
You sounded like Julia Child when
you
said that.
She just got broken again.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
I know.
She's won like one out of 18 points on her serve.
But she must be breaking the other one. Right?
Yeah, they're going back and forth, breaking each other. I think it's like six games in a row.
Okay.
That serve has been broken.
So now the other one's
serving for the match. Mm. Oh, the match, not the set.
Yes.
Right. I'm loving the show more and more and can't wait for football to start. Hernandez gone isn't so much an issue because we will find someone to take over his production.
Someone's going to write in and tell us this match was over about 3 hours ago.
The only team that was better than us were the Ravens, and they self-destructed by overpaying Flacco and getting rid of all their good players. The Broncos aren't better than us because I don't trust their receivers all that much. Now.
Oh, I think he's being facetious.
Well, I think he was too. That's why I laughed.
I don't know. The problem,
Fred Welker's their receiver.
Yeah.
He's taking a shot.
I know.
I like it. It's a good shot. I appreciate
the
that.
The problem is that the NFC teams are much better than we are. I see at least five teams in the NFC that will toy us in the big game. Packers, Seahawks, Niners, Falcons, and Giants. I love Brady, but he's aging, and I don't like his past performances in big games the last 3 years. If Flacco is Super Bowl champion and Kaepernick took his team to the Super Bowl after only a second year, we can win without Tom Brady. I'm not sure why you guys never criticize the man, but he seems to be another Peyton Manning. He is a good regular season quarterback, but not so much anymore in the playoffs.
I think we've said that plenty of times.
I'm glad we got Tebow to compliment Brady. I hope we use him on offense for wildcat packages in short yard situations.
All right. I'm going to leave the last part out of that. Have I been guilty of not giving any criticism to Brady?
No. You've said exactly that.
I think there's some truth to what he says. I think that the big game performance for Brady has been sort of erratic. Now, it's not been totally gone. I mean, he's had good games and bad games, whereas earlier in his career, he was good, and then in the games that he wasn't as good, he was average. I think that there's been some games where he hasn't been average.
Would you trade this is something that came to mind the other day. Would you trade Tom Brady to the Vikings for Adrian Peterson in a first-round pick?
No.
Oh, boy.
Absolutely not.
You wouldn't?
Absolutely not.
No.
For a running back, so I can turn around and hand the ball off and win 10 games?
Well,
no.
No.
But in the first-round pick?
No.
No.
So what I was thinking is...
Not if Andrew Luck...
In the short term...
Not unless Andrew Luck was coming out in that draft.
You turn into the ultimate option team with Tebow and Adrian Peterson, yeah, and then you look for your quarterback of the future.
No.
I don't know.
I don't even have to think about it.
I couldn't do it.
If Andrew Luck was coming out in the draft,
yeah,
that would be different. But he's not. I mean, no way.
Okay. Even then, you'd have to be guaranteed the number one overall pick to get him. And Minnesota with Tom Brady isn't going to be the worst
team. Let's put it this way. Anything that involves, and I'm not trying to say this to be cute or funny, anything that involves like turning the offense over to Tebow, I'm not interested in. Okay? But...
See, I think
if you're asking me to get a player,
I think if
Adrian Peterson's a great, great running back.
Right.
You know what I think of running backs? That team can't win.
But here's what I'm thinking. If obviously the Patriots don't think this way, but if they did think that Tom Brady is no longer the guy, then you're going to have that period. And, Paul, you would agree that no matter what happens, you're going to have a downtime after he goes.
I would think.
So why not have that downtime a fun time? And you put Tebow out there with Adrian Peterson.
You're operating under the assumption that it would be fun.
I think it
would. Why would it be fun?
It would be fun.
What if they went 3-13 every year?
I don't think they would. I think they'd win some games.
Okay, so you're saying that they could win.
Yeah.
That's
but
different.
I don't think they.
I don't think it would be fun if he couldn't throw.
I think they compete. I don't think they'd win Super Bowls.
Ryan Mallett would be your quarterback full time, or would Tebow be your quarterback full time?
No, Tebow. He wants
you
to
run
be
the
fun.
Option offense.
It'll be fun.
Oh boy.
Converting 47% of your throws. That's fun.
You basically have Tebow
handing off to
Ridley
Peterson
and Peterson in the backfield.
Yeah, I wouldn't do
wow.
it.
Wow.
I wouldn't do it. And it has nothing to really – it's not really involving Tebow. I wouldn't do it even if I had a – you know, if Ryan Mallett was the quarterback, I wouldn't do it for Peterson because I don't think anything of running backs.
Okay.
I think running backs
– right.
You don't need them anymore.
I mean,
you know, within reason. You need somebody to run the ball. I just – you don't need like an 1,800-yard back. You don't need an offense that's centered around a running back, to me. I don't think that you can win big that way.
Let's see. Melvin from Tennessee. Do you guys think that we will see two running backs on the field at the same time this season in games, especially if Vereen stays healthy or Washington is good?
Yeah, they did that a lot
last
year.
They have done
that
before.
Yeah. They're not going to, come out with the split T.
I mean, you're not going to have predominant, an I formation every play, but they had their share of running backs on the field together.
Also, what was the worst defensive performance from last year? I want to say the home game with Buffalo, but it's so many to choose from, honestly.
The worst
that was
defensive performance?
That was a breakdown.
That's a good pick.
Yeah.
Because Buffalo scored so effortlessly that day.
I mean, even Brady sat on the sidelines like, this isn't good.
that's a good – if I recall, that's a really good one. Buffalo must have had 10 or 12 plays of, 15 yards. I mean, it just seemed like they had 20-yard passes over the middle all day, and then finally he threw a pick to end the game. But, yeah, that's a good choice. They did have some tough defensive moments last year.
Let's see. Chris in Boston writes, I just want to know why Andy makes this illogical insistence that Daniel Fells is a proven NFL tight end and much more proven than, say, Jake Ballard. I think he has Fells confused with some other tight end because he certainly has not had multiple 35-40 catch seasons. The dude is a jag. He's been on three teams in 3 years, and his best year, and really his only respectable year, was in 2010, where he had 41 catches for 391 yards, 9.5 yards per catch, and 2 touchdowns. His other seasons comprised of 4, 7, 19, and 21 catches. He's a slow, above-average run-blocking tight end in an era where everyone is looking for athletic pass-catching mismatches at tight end. Putting Zach Zutfield ahead of Fells is probably a little premature, but all Zutfield has to do is prove that he can get open and catch the football, because that is something Fells hasn't really proven he has the ability to do in his 70-plus games played. Anyway, just wanted to chime in on this Fells thing. I usually value Andy's opinions because they are mostly pretty logical and based in reality, but this one was one of the few, or many depending on who you ask, where he was really off base.
I agree.
Well, this and Kyle Long thing. Anyway, thanks.
I agree with the emailer on this one. I don't know what he sees in Fells that I don't. The only thing that I would disagree with is I don't know what people see in Ballard that I don't either. So I might just be a little bit critical of the tight ends. I mean... understanding that Ballard is only really entering his second year of play. He played 1 year and then was hurt. But he wasn't the guy that he sort of described as in that rookie year when he had, 35 catches or whatever it was, 40 catches. I think that he was a spare part in a pretty good offense. I don't think that he is a dynamic playmaker. And I think people look at him as sort of being the Gronk replacement. I don't see it.
Let's see, Jason.
I don't see much of a difference between him and Fells. Let's put it that way.
Jason's in Gettysburg.
Oh, nice.
See, no matter what,
it is amazing.
He's a longtime fan living in Gettysburg. Come on down and visit one of the prettiest towns in the country. Just not this weekend.
Mm.
It's like 50 clowns in a Volkswagen Bug.
Hmm.
Will you guys be down this way for the Patriots versus Eagles preseason game?
Indeed, we will.
Yep.
For a few days.
Actually, I'm not gonna.
Oh, you're not going to?
I'm going to fly down maybe the day before, the day of. I just can't be out of the office that long.
Okay.
It's just, you know, it's crazy. You leave it on Monday, and you're not coming back till, you know, Saturday morning.
Basically Saturday morning, yeah.
You know, that's a long time out of the office. I'm too busy.
Okay. That's all right.
But I'll either come down Thursday or Friday morning. So.
Thursday's supposedly a free day, so I would say probably Friday morning.
Let's see. Paul just left.
Yeah.
I don't know. He just walked out.
Well, he has a growing problem.
Walt from Texas/New Hampshire. I really hope Brady finds the fountain of guts because I would rather watch Tebow if Brady is going to keep doing his fetal position act again this year. Really? I mean, do these people watch the same games that I watch?
He has. I mean, there
he had that one play where he used the referee as sort of a shield or whatever, and he played in the fetal position all year.
No, he does have a tendency to get rattled though when he feels pressure, even when the pressure isn't necessarily there. There is something to what Ryan Clark said earlier about seeing ghosts, but I wouldn't. I mean, you're critiquing one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play the game. I don't think that's wise.
I know that the goal of pretty much every defensive coordinator is to put pressure on a passing quarterback.
Yeah.
And Brady's a human. Yeah, pressure bothers him just like it does every quarterback.
And there was that one time he anticipated it and ducked when there was nobody there.
Right. So this one emailer just said that the whole season Brady played
needs
in
guts.
The fetal position.
Yeah.
He has no guts.
Well.
This is a guy
I don't think his pocket
presence. This is a guy who begs to do quarterback sneaks.
Yeah, well.
And does them well.
That's the same thing as standing tall in the pocket. And I don't think he does that as well as he once did. But to say
he still does silliness. He takes some hits.
No kidding. It's silly.
He takes some big hits.
Big hits. You know,
and gets up from
it. And he's missed one season because of that ACL. Mm-hmm. Otherwise,
yeah, I think it's silly.
Has he missed a game? No.
No.
I mean, no guts. This is no Tony Eason we're talking about here. This is Patrice Bergeron we're talking about.
You're right. You're right.
Josh from Waterloo, I keep hearing something, not just in the Hernandez case, but every time a high-profile person gets in trouble. Quote, he needs to be hanging around better people. At what point do we say about a guy like this that he is a bad person and people need to stop hanging around with him?
Who's this?
Josh writing in. Why is it the other people bringing down Hernandez? To me, he is the bad guy that is poorly influencing the people around him. It's interesting. There was a woman from ESPN who wrote a lengthy article today.
Yes, Elizabeth Merrill.
Yeah, who basically, when you read it, it's Hernandez that took Odin Lloyd and really – was the bad influence on Odin Lloyd to his demise. But,
Yeah, I do think that we're too quick to say that all the time about these people. Like, they have to get these bad influences out of their lives.
Right.
I don't know a lot of people that have bad influences in their lives that aren't part of it.
I will have to defend Eric. Whilst in Bora Bora, part of the French Polynesian Islands, they all greeted us with bonjour. Hey, idiot from America's Attic, do you really think that now we get the guns thing.
We're talking about abortion.
That's going to be my nighttime political show. We'll talk about current topics and guns and abortion and all that stuff.
You're insane.
Craig in Edinburgh, Scotland says big time.
Edinburgh.
What's that?
It's Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
Yes.
Ruh?
Yes.
By the way,
It's not Berg. It's Edinburgh.
Big-time UK Patriots fan here and have not missed a show in over 3 years. Subscribe to the paper and love it. Seeing as the chat recently has been regarding the Hernandez situation, I thought I'd get back to football. Me and my other half are in the process of arranging our wedding next year. Part of this is choosing a band to play in our special day.
I got to go with Earth, Wind, and Fire.
The Dan Band.
The Dan Band?
Yeah.
What's that?
Those were the guys from Old School that were swearing all the songs.
We came across this one band in particular who plays a variety of music in addition to a live Kayleigh. That must be a Scottish thing. The aspect was a real draw, and after deciding we wanted them, we took the plunge last week and put down a deposit. However,
The day after we booked it, I had this terrible realization, and it was the band's name. I've not only gone and booked a band that goes by the name of all name, The Jets. Now, that's what I call being a jackass, as one foot, as one foot loving NFL coach would say. P.S. I tweeted Andy the link to the topless barbers in Australia. Will be of interest to you all, apart from Eric, obviously, on two counts.
So why do you have to be a jerk?
That's being a jackass.
Yeah, that was a great email.
No, well, except for the end.
No, I like the whole thing.
No.
I
That's being a jackass.
I do think that there would be a day the NFL plays a regular season game in Australia.
I hope so. I hope it's us.
Why not?
Now, that's a long trip.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, I think that'll happen.
We could start the season. We could open the season there.
You ever been to Australia?
No, I haven't.
You?
No. It's on the list, though.
I've never been there.
Sydney came to the party on Friday, though.
Oh,
that is true.
Walter from Texas, New Hampshire. This is the guy who said Brady needs guts.
Texas New Hampshire?
Slash New Hampshire?
Yeah. He says, I guess Grogan spoiled me. That's the standard for guts.
Well, listen, if you think that Brady doesn't have as much guts and doesn't play with as much guts as anybody, Grogan
That's
included, I don't know what you've been watching.
Right.
Now, like I said, I don't think that he, since he got hurt, I don't think that he stands quite as tall and as,
it's in his head
as long in the pocket as he once did. But I don't see this fear that you're talking about. And I kind of agree with Fred. You know, this isn't Tony Eason. You know, I don't get it. I think there's things that you can criticize Brady about. I just don't think that's one of them.
Paul's in Loudonville, New York. When I watch Brady in the pocket, actually, ducking right from pressure, real or not, I always feel like he looks like he has a coach in his ear whispering, above all else, do not fumble the football.
Wouldn't that be an unbelievable story?
And he acts accordingly.
They're breaking the rules. They're saying, Brady, get down.
When was the last time Brady actually committed a fumble?
It's amazing.
How do his stats on that compare to other current starters?
I don't have the actual numbers, but it's a great point. And I'll just use anecdotal evidence. But I don't have the numbers. And I will say this also. Early in his career, his first year as a starter, he fumbled constantly. In 2001, he fumbled a lot. Now, they used to get him back all the time. But it's something he really worked on, and he's talked about it. And it's amazing how many times he gets hit when you can tell he's not expecting to get hit and he doesn't fumble the ball. I think it's astounding.
Yeah.
And that's not just by coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that he has worked hard at, is his ball security.
Mm-hmm.
And both Bill and Tom have talked about that. It's a good point.
Your girl's climbing back in?
Yeah, she's fighting away.
Yeah, well, she's trying to
get it to a tiebreaker.
She's in trouble.
Well,
do they
have tiebreaker in the second set,
yes.
Girls?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think only the deciding set goes without a tiebreaker.
Well, this would be a this is...
No, this is not a deciding set.
Oh, I thought, okay.
Hey,
only
Paul,
the second set.
On your point of Brady working on fumbles, in 2006 he had 11 fumbles. Since then, his high is 4.
How many did he have in 2001?
In 2001 he had 9.
9 fumbles, and he didn't start the whole year. That's a lot of fumbles.
Right.
And he's had 4 since 2006.
The high number is 4 since 2006.
That's pretty impressive. I don't remember him fumbling all those times in 2006 either. He didn't have any last year?
He had one last year.
One. It's unbelievable. They also never lose them. Have you ever noticed that?
Right.
They never lose they never lose fumbles when he fumbles.
This is match point, Paul.
Yeah, it's going. I know. Only the deciding set doesn't go to a tiebreaker.
And, Paul,
but
by the way,
it's going to be 7-5 anyway, so it wouldn't be a tiebreaker.
The fumble last year was on a rush. It was not on a pass. It was not on a drop back. So
she beat her.
Yep.
No more Americans.
No more Americans.
Done.
LT from Adelaide writes in, first, happy birthday, Freddie.
Belated.
Secondly, Freddie, please do not leave us alone again. The first seconds of PFW in progress on Tuesday was Eric singing. And we all know that is not a great sign. Did you sing?
He did
sing happy birthday to you.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I was a little uncomfortable.
I wanted to comment
because he wasn't here. Sorry.
I wanted to comment on the draft shows and the masterpiece that PFW in progress is over these 3 days. What was underrated to me was the response of Andy and Paul to those emails which told them to stop tipping picks from Twitter. Whilst Eric got into a heated argument with said people, Andy and Paul kept tipping picks whilst playing the game of the next pick rhymes with blank. Now on to Eric. I'm a big fan of your writing and your ability to say things that are simply not true.
On the story of how Deacon Jones got his nickname, instead of I don't know, he spouted a story about him actually being ordained a deacon. On the language discussion regarding French and Spanish, not only what he said untrue, but then he changed the argument after he was proven wrong. But what makes it worse is then he uses big words that everyone assumes are simply made up and has a snooty accent when explaining it to everyone else. So that's what he has to say.
None of the words I use are made up.
Questions for all of you. Fred.
Even I don't think he makes up the words. I don't think he knows what half of them mean, but I don't think he makes them
no,
up.
No.
Fred, was the Make Your Own Sunday more popular than the Dell's truck? I don't think so.
No, I think the Dell's truck was more popular.
In the middle of it, I saw... like the mess it was making, and I said to Eric, I should have went to the
Dell's truck. He did. Yeah. Yeah.
I think the I like the Make Your Own Sunday, but I think that it's a tough.
It's unwieldy.
It's tough outside in the summer.
Dell's is, you put it in the cup, you send the kid away.
You know what was a big hit, though? Those ice cream sandwiches.
Oh, you like those?
Yeah.
Again, though, same kind of deal. They
were melting quickly. It was a hot day, though.
They had a shelf life.
Yeah.
But we were very, very fortunate to get the day in with the weather that we did.
Yep. Andy, did you hold your nose when you jumped into Fred's pool?
Probably. I'm sure he did. I didn't see it, though.
Paul, how many Miller Lights did you consume?
Very few, unfortunately.
Did Beth drive?
I was driving, and I wanted to make sure I was responsible, so I only had a couple early, and then I shut it down. Freddie didn't even have Diet Pepsi for me.
I had Pepsi Next. BJ's didn't have Diet Pepsi for some reason. I don't know why.
Pepsi Next.
Eric, how do you spell antediluvian?
ANTEDILUVIAN.
In all seriousness, though, Eric, I'm just teasing, and I do think that all you guys do an exceptional job keeping us entertained. Keep up the great work, and I must admit it was great to hear an Aussie accent on the show last week.
Yeah, we ended with one.
We're going to get that 1-800 lineup.
Yeah, Fred, Andy's Australian accent was much better than whatever the one he tries to do Giselle in.
Yeah.
Let's see.
He sounds more like Russian. Neither Brazilian nor German.
Neither.
With the Russian.
Steve writes in, why are people so stupid to that person that said Brady has no guts? You are a stupid F.
All right. Listen, we take all opinions here. There's no need to get nasty. I mean, someone told me to get my head out of my ass. I mean, what are we going to do? These people have different opinions.
Anthony from Sarasota says, what do you guys think about picking up Dallas Clark or maybe even Branch's spare tires?
Not interested in Branch at all, as much as I love him. Dallas Clark, to me, is he'd be a good insurance policy. I think that he's a guy that can catch the football, and he's proven that he can get open. I think he's got some wear and tear that I'm not sure, but you wouldn't be asking him to do everything. Last year, during the spring, they had him in for a look. They ended up not signing him. He went to Tampa. Had a decent season with the Bucs. I think he could probably contribute, but I think that as long as you're going to get Gronkowski back at some point in October, I don't really see the need. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I think that you have three guys that you can sort of, you know, fill the void until Gronk gets back.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody out there that I'm in a rush to sign.
No, I agree.
You guys don't like Dallas Clark. I think he's serviceable as a receiver.
That's what he is. He's a receiver,
and I think that makes up a little bit for now with, you know, Hernandez not being there and Gronk.
I think you can get just as much as a receiver out of the guys that are here as you can get out of him at this point. Now, 5 years ago.
Five years ago was a different story.
He was far more accomplished as a receiver than any of these guys will ever be.
You know, I go back to how we started the show.
He's a 40-catch guy.
If I know that Gronk's not going to be back for, like, the first six games of the season, I got to reshuffle my playbook. I really do. I can go out with two tight ends, but I'm not throwing them the ball like I did before, and that means...
Well, I'm not throwing Dallas Clark the ball the way I threw the ball to Hernandez and Gronkowski either.
I might a little bit more than I do, you know, Jake Ballard.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't.
Yeah. I worry, too.
I think those guys are 40-catch guys nowadays. I don't think that you're going to get much more than that out of Dallas Clark.
I'm saying right now...
I think Fells, Ballard, those guys, who, man... 30, 40-catch guys.
I say, you know, again, no. If I know that Gronk's
and
not
all of them,
there,
I mean
for,
one of them.
If I know Gronk's not going to be there for the first six games, minus someone that's not on this roster right now, I got to relook at my playbook and say, what are we opening the season doing? What type of offense are we going to be to open this season?
Yeah, I still think you keep saying that, and I don't think that you need to change anything. I just maybe think that,
hey, Fred,
it just matters
maybe
who's going to catch the ball. You know, I don't know the answer.
Hooman started to
well,
make some.
That is the
but
question.
That doesn't change my plays.
But it does because
no, it
yeah,
doesn't.
Some plays are designed for tight ends and some
well,
aren't.
Again, you're operating under the assumption that what they say isn't accurate about whoever is open is the guy who gets
no,
the ball.
Look, everyone's running a pattern. If the hot guy isn't open, yeah, the guy that's open gets the ball. But a lot of times, Gronkowski or Hernandez is your number one option. I think that that position is no longer your number one option, and I think that changes
well, what
things.
What if you
and
know?
You think that if Dallas Clark was here, that would be your number one option?
I think it would alleviate it a little bit. Yeah, I do.
I don't think Dallas Clark is any more accomplished at this stage of his career than anybody you have.
What if
5 years ago he was a 100-catch guy? By all means, bring him in. But he's not that guy anymore.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then all right. But I don't know if he has anything left in the tank. I'm assuming he does. A little bit, you know, and definitely the skills. Now, can he get open? I don't know, but he can catch the ball. He's a proven receiver.
He's a receiving tight end. Yeah. I just think that he's done at this
point.
Who's
on his last legs?
And isn't going to give you any more than what you have.
Okay.
Now that said, I wouldn't be. I'm not even going to be a little surprised if they bring him in. They had interest in him last year,
and they have space on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like you have six tight ends already. I don't think you need any more.
Anthony says, I'm a diehard Patriots fan, but I have season tickets to the Bucs. Watch Clark own that field. Freeman was the problem. He still has it. We need something secured for game one, not waiting till week six or seven for Gronk.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree.
I'd rather have Gronk at the end than at the beginning.
I know that I know Dallas Clark can catch the ball. I just don't think he's a dynamic player anymore.
Okay. Jacob in Virginia. Do you think they'll stop or at least draft fewer players with bad backgrounds, the Patriots? They certainly won't want another player to end up like Aaron, so will they lean away from the troubled players? Also, how much of an impact do you think Jamie Collins will have next year? I see him making a few big plays if Chandler Jones can succeed and make teams double-team him. Well, the first one, will they lean away from risky players? I think they're going to think maybe a little longer than they did a year ago, but I think
too.
They're still going to take chances.
Still take chances.
But I think in this particular draft, the next draft that comes around, they're going to be a little bit more conscious of it than maybe they normally would be.
Yeah.
I think that's only
natural.
You got
to think. I mean, this is a traumatic event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one here got killed, but
it's a
traumatic event for management.
Not just for this team, for the league.
Yeah.
Well, it's a black eye on the league. I mean, how many professional sports leagues have players that are accused of murder?
They all do.
They all have players that are accused of murder.
At one point or another, yeah.
Who was the last baseball player accused of murder?
Oh, I don't know. But they've
Who was the last hockey player accused of murder?
Hockey? Well, DUI.
Murder?
Murder.
Well, killing someone in a car because of being drunk.
Okay, who was the last one that did that?
The Jim Craig.
Okay, so, I don't know, 35 years?
Okay. But it's happened.
And I didn't say it hasn't happened.
I don't think that happened to Jim Craig either. I think the DUI.
Well,
Craig McTavish went to prison in the 70s.
Yeah, is another guy.
But again, you're going back 35, 40 years.
But, you know, the
roster. It's not something that happens every day.
This is like the third time in 10 years for the NFL.
The roster. Yeah, Ray Carruth is another one. I mean, that was bizarre. You know, they found him in a trunk. But the rosters on football are bigger than other sports. So there's more guys that go through systems.
Yeah.
There's more guys that are at the end of rosters that you might take, so the chances, where there's more people, there's more chances.
Absolutely
of this,
right.
You know?
Absolutely right. There's 53 guys just by sheer numbers, percentage.
Right. And I think they have more time off. You know, when you're in baseball, you got 162 games. You're busy. Now you can get in trouble on the road, but.
You have 6 months off in pretty much all the sports though, don't you?
Do you really? Yeah.
Well, not baseball.
I mean, give or take.
I mean, baseball, they're done in
baseball,
October.
Baseball, you have like 3 months off.
End of February.
I don't know. The season's 6 months.
Yeah.
April to September. You have October, November, December.
But
you're in training camp in February.
But you basically have 6 months off.
Not really.
More or less, you have 6 months off in every sport. I mean, I'm parsing, maybe it's 5 months and 2 weeks in baseball, and it's more like 6 months and two weeks in football.
But the NFL
roughly
definitely
gets 6 months on.
I guess since February, there's been 27 arrests in football. Now, a lot of these are DUIs, and
more
you know, not to diminish that at all,
but
they're nothing to the level of what, these guns.
I find it astounding that Joe LaFedge could get a gun charge like a week later.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, You can't put the gun away for a week.
Marvin Harrison, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
All these guys with the guns. You know, it's ridiculous.
Okay, I get it. You have to have a gun. All right. I don't really understand it, but I get that it means a lot to you. After what just happened, you're an NFL player. You can't just say, you know what? The last thing I can do today is get myself involved in a gun charge.
Seriously. Right. Right.
Another Rutgers guy, by the way. Joe LaFedge.
You know, so it's just crazy.
Who I happen to like coming out of college, by the way.
All right. That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll be back Thursday. Maybe there'll be some Patriots news by then. Who knows?
We will not be back on Thursday, by the way.
Oh, that's right. We won't.
No.
And I won't be back next week. No, I will be on Tuesday. I'll be here Tuesday.
Well, you'll be flying solo. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'll be here Tuesday. No show on Thursday, 4th of July. We here in the States celebrate our independence from the rest of the world.
Uh-oh. This is your chance, Paul.
Well, you don't like 4th of July.
Evidently, we'll be here on Friday, though. The only corporation in America.
Aren't they giving us a half day or something?
No, I don't think so. Oh. I thought we were off on Friday, but evidently I was wrong.
No, yeah, we don't. I know it wasn't a day off. All right, that's going to be it. We'll see you
Happy 4th.
Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.